Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm Bobby.
I'm Nick.
I'm JP Diddy.
and I am not shocked that we can't get through the introduction without fucking up. We
literally just went over it. I swore I was second.
We rehearsed that seven times, guys. Seven times. We go in and we just fuck it up. Just a heads up for everybody listening. We just want to make a shout out. If you are not a Patreon, and if you want to see some Patreon content, we are filming a Not Safe for Work episode. Right after this. So if it seems we're a little extra toastier than normal, we're preparing for that. So if you'd like to see that podcast or get that exclusive content, please, subscribe on Patreon or hit us up, and we'll definitely try to get that to you.
So many people are tuning out right now. Just like, all right, I can skip this one.
I can hear the heavy breathing. I don't need this.
I'll check back next week.
So John is calling in because he pretty much is the only one who played a video game this week. So he's gonna talk about that. Nick didn't play any video games because he flew out to see me, and I didn't play any video games because Nick flew out to see me. So what do you think of San Diego, Nick?
Dude, it is, man, my wife, okay, so me and my wife are like, California's too expensive, the people here suck, the laws suck, and we get down here to San Diego, we're like, fuck it all, we're going to live here, damn it, this is the nicest goddamn place in the United States.
But no, it's amazing, the people here are nice, Emilio's nice, Bobby's the best, the food is amazing, I honestly wish I could live here. Yeah. If you put a gun in my head and say, do you want to move back to California? And they're like the Bay Area or LA, whatever. San Diego, 100%. I ain't moving nowhere next to my parents.
It's nice, huh?
I love it, man.
Yeah. And I really enjoy when people visit because I'm always like, I know the best shit. Or
let me show you my San Diego. Yeah.
Right. It's the best part. It's like, let me show you my San Diego on the third day. Bobby's here. It's like, woo!
Yep.
I finally got to see him. Bobby, I was
so
like,
excited to see
Bobby,
you, Bobby.
Bobby, I was like,
meeting a celebrity today.
Dude, my wife literally goes, I can't wait to see Bobby. It's like literally seeing a celebrity. He's like, all I see him was on the screen, whether it be my phone or the big screen. I go, I asked Emilio, I go, Emilio, I know Bobby doesn't really do much, but do you think we can get him out to the casino tonight? And he's like, nah. He's like, you couldn't pay him. I was like, fuck, I got to cherish my time with what I got.
Yep.
The casino. Oh, my God.
And, John, you have a big snake show coming up, right?
I do. I leave Wednesday for Texas, Arlington, NARBC show, North American Reptile Breeders Conference. Yep.
So if you're into snakes,
head to Arlington.
Head to Arlington.
That's right.
Do you like briskets?
Who's going to hear that and be like, I'm going to change all my plans for next week?
I like brisket. I like John. And I like snakes. So let's go to Arlington, damn it.
But cool.
John, are you excited for your trip?
I am. Yeah. I'm going to miss the kids and the family, ironically, even though I'm probably going to get the best sleep I've had in six friggin' months. But no, it'll be good. It'll be a good time.
That's good to hear.
So Nick sits down. He's usually remote and he's here in person. First thing he sits down, he's like, can I pay for a better studio for you guys?
Bro, it's the heat. I'm fat as fuck. I just sat in the sun for 6 hours. We got to get like a fan or an air conditioner or sort of fanboy. I don't care. Like something.
A fanboy with like a literal fan.
Yes.
Grapes. And so we went to the beach. And like getting to the beach is a lot of work. You got to take a bunch of stuff. You got to get the right spot, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. We finally get set up. And after about half an hour, Nick's like, you ready to go? And I was like, what do you mean?
Nah, bro. It's like what it is like. All right, we were there for legit. I had the parking meter tell me how long we were there, right?
Yeah.
2 hours and 38 minutes.
Oh, okay.
When you're at the fucking beach, there's three things you want to do. Touch the water, sit in the sand, relax a little bit, maybe fart. That's about it.
Yeah.
You do all four of those, you're having a good time. After that, you're just getting sunburnt and you're getting annoyed. Yeah. And you got sand in your ass crack.
We're lucky we didn't stay. You'd be really hurting right now.
Bro, I didn't put no sunscreen on. I'm pale as a ghost.
Yeah.
I want to talk about some video games.
Bobby.
Yeah, let's talk about some video games.
Video games. All right. Let's start with On the Radar, games that have come to our attention recently. First one I'm going to bring up is Lord of the Rings Gollum. This is an interesting little game here. So it's Lord of the Rings inspired, obviously, but you play as Gollum, and it appears to be a stealth adventure game. They have no release date. In fact, the release date on the Steam page says lurking until the time is right. So they're having fun.
Is that even an option on the drop-down, Bobby? You got to know this.
No, you type that in. People have fun with that all the time.
Oh, really? Until the G-string actually fits?
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know. But this is developed by Datalic Games or Datalic Entertainment. They've had a lot of big games. This is, I believe, a German company. They made the Deponia series. They published quite a few games. They've got quite a bit under their belt. But this looks like a pretty interesting idea here. So it's like a stealth game where you play as Gollum and you're trying to go through basically his story. And I don't know how I know the story of Gollum. There must have been one of the Lord of the Rings. I've read the book, so maybe it was from there. But they kind of go more into detail about his history and how he came to be Gollum.
Well, it's the second movie. The second movie, they have like a 30-minute bit on him. Yep. Like,
oh, they show him as human. That's right.
Him as Hobbit.
Oh, as Hobbit.
Something Hobbit-like.
Hobbit-like.
Specifically say it. Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, the third movie, they show his transformation from like normal dude to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Gollum.
Yeah.
But in the movies, a lot of what he does is lurking and skulking and stuff. So mm-hmm. it totally makes sense that that's what this game is about. Because all he does is follows everybody that has the ring all the time. You know, mm-hmm. he's always in the shadows.
Well, doesn't he originally get introduced into the story as a guide, right? He knows how to get to Mount Doom without being found.
Yeah. Yeah. He's supposed to help...
Frodo and Sam get there, but the main thing, they're like, why are we going to hire this crackhead with us? And he's like, I can get you there without being found.
Yeah, pretty much. But he only knows that because he snuck out of there while they let him go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, on this little write-up they have on the Steam page, the last sentence says, one mind, two egos, you decide.
Interesting.
Now, a big part in the book, especially, I remember this, he's constantly switching egos between who he used to be and who he is now. Like this addictive personality that's obsessed with the ring and also like the more human or hobbit-like person that he used to be. So I'm wondering how they'd handle that in the game. I'll tell you, from the screenshots and the description, I am kind of intrigued as to what this game is going to be like.
I still don't know. Did the HBO 4K remasters come out yet?
No, not yet. So what I think they're waiting on, right, is that the week or two before they release a show, because they're making a show, it's a billion-dollar show, mm-hmm. They're going to do the remasters as a warm-up.
I see.
And then they're going to do the show.
And then in more Lord of the Rings, well, first I wanted to comment on the duality in his mind. In the movie, that was one of the best scenes of Gollum, when he's talking to his reflection in the water. And in one, he's the nice version that wants to help the hobbits, and the other one is going to wants to kill them because you know they have what he wants. And so
that was just an excuse for you to do your good.
They ruined it.
So there's only two types of people in this world, and there's people that can do Gollum impressions, and then some that absolutely suck.
Yep.
But if you see the screenshot here, like Bobby was explaining earlier, you can literally choose how he feels, and there's really only one side, green or red.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or angel or devil. Or
he's got a few different options, and some of them seem to be more passive, and some of them seem to be more aggressive.
I will say, compared to the movie, though, he looks like he's got a little bit more meat on his bones on this one. So
they have to give him some muscle for the stabbing.
And hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, something to keep an eye on. Who knows when this game is going to come out? Probably not for a while, but it's an interesting idea they're playing with.
What are you going to say on cost, Bobby?
I'm going to say this is a $35... $40 game.
I'm going $24.99.
Really?
$24.99. I think it's going to be a 6-hour game. $24.99.
This is no $60. DLC. This is $60.
You're high, bruh. What has Datalic Entertainment made? Click it, Bobby.
Well, like I said, they made the Deponia series,
which is great. Like a point and click adventure.
Yeah,
that goes for about $20.
What's the average price on those bitches?
Lots of point and click games. Not very much. So a lot of their games range from that $15 to $30 price, but. I don't know. They are playing with a big IP here. This is Lord of the Rings.
But it's not only that, but it's such a shitty character. I shouldn't say shitty, but such a minor character. You think that's really
minor? Oh, no, dude. People love Gollum.
The movie, no one's going to pay. I'm not going to pay $34.
Arguably, the movie is
a story that hasn't been told.
Get the fuck up, Bobby. Get back to the movie podcast, Bobby.
It's a story. Arguably, you could say that Lord of the Rings is a story about Gollum.
Well, that is the, like, it is the corruption of Gollum, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's one of the more interesting characters, even though he may not have a whole lot of screen time compared to the other ones. I do think he is one of the more interesting characters that people tend to gravitate to. He's like the Boba Fett. He's on screen for not very long, and everybody's obsessed with him.
Yeah.
As they know now, Captain Phantasma, thank you. That's the new Boba Fett. All right.
I don't know about
nobody,
that.
Yeah, no, sir.
Nobody's asking.
Exactly, you motherfuckers. It's the stormtrooper captain with the chrome armor. Silver. Played by the lady who's the Brienne of Tarth.
Really quickly.
Game of Thrones.
Lord of the Rings MMO, developed by Amazon, it has now been canceled. So they pulled a plug on that one.
One for the homies on that one.
Yeah. Well, they have New World coming out, and I don't think they need two MMOs.
Yeah. Amazon loves to cancel their games.
I think they're really struggling, man. I think they're really trying to get a grip on where they want to sell them, how they want to sell them, how much they want to sell them for. Like, I think Bezos or whoever's in charge of that really was like, we got to scoop up all the IPs, try to make shit. And they're really saying that it's not that easy, you know? It's not like...
I read a whole article about it, and the writer of the article was saying how you can't buy a game studio. I mean, you can, but...
Oh, Microsoft does.
Yeah. But
EA didn't do it right though, and they just kind of shit them out.
Sorry, what I meant was you can't just create one and just start putting out quality content, no matter how much money you have. It takes years and years of making games to like learn and develop a culture, and then after all of that, so you can't. It's very hard. I mean, look at Amazon; they have very smart people. They have nigh infinite money. And they have yet to put out like a killer game
that everybody's talking about.
Well, I do appreciate the fact that Amazon calls it off. They're just like, nope, we're not
going to
do it.
They cut their losses.
Yeah, rather than having an Anthem situation where just like, nah, it's great, everybody. And then everyone's like, no, it's
not. What was wrong with Anthem, Bobby? Tell me, what was wrong with Anthem?
Name, the exact character flaws, the design, the sound design. I want to hear it all, damn it.
I'm just kidding. Fuck that. Anthem sucked. I don't know.
There's a lot of games that just drag it out far too long, and then they close the shop, and we're like, yeah, dude, you should have done that from the beginning. Yeah.
John, you know, because you're here, and I love you so much.
I love you too.
You're the voice of reason. How much would you pay for this Gollum game?
I feel like I'm with Bobby. I think it's like a $30 to $40 game. There's no way it's a $60 game.
You're high, bro.
These are animals. All right, the next one is yours.
Slim wallets.
What do you got here? Warhammer Vermintide.
How dare you?
Yeah, so Warhammer Vermintide's coming out with a new DLC that I caught wind of, and I thought you'd appreciate this, Emilio. It is a roguelite version. So I'm assuming it's going to be, you know, a lot like Remnant from the Ashes, where we really enjoyed their roguelite version. I don't know much about it other than when I saw it past my newsfeed, I was like, hey, we got to check this out. It's a good reason to circle back to it.
Did you play the original game? Have you played?
I did. Actually, somebody I wanted to pick their brain on it, because, you know, it's Warhammer, and that's all he ever talks about, is Nick, did you ever get a chance to dive into this? I don't remember playing this with you.
So, Vermintide. Pre-DLC. you know, I loved it. I just have no friends to play with, because anytime I open my mouth about Warhammer, all my friends leave.
I really like the first one. I'd love to check out the second one. And honestly, this sounds cool because do we have any other co-op roguelikes? I'm talking like a
Left 4 Dead style.
Four-person co-op.
And I think that's where they did this. And I think they're testing this for Darktide because everybody and their fucking mom says that anything they're doing for Vermintide right now is
practice for Darktide.
And so Darktide, when you think about it, not to get too into the lore... the super cities that people live in, you can roguelike the fuck out of that. You talk about any city, you can roguelike that super well. So Vermintide is one of those games that surprisingly has a fuck ton of developer support, and they're constantly changing things. And so normally when you play Left 4 Dead, you're like, oh, here comes a witch, better have the automatic sniper rifle, right? And then, you know, that'll take care of her. But in this series, they're constantly changing the meta, constantly changing the... just how the game really is played.
That's kind of what you want, too.
Exactly.
You don't want it to get super repetitive.
Mm-hmm. And Vermintide players, the ones that I've talked to, are super hardcore. even more hardcore than I am on a bunch of other things, but I would love to play this game with anybody from the DLG community. I played some of the DLCs. You know, the lore is great. But Left 4 Dead clone with, like, melee weapons, like, you feel like in Left 4 Dead, you're like, I have pan. Pan kills zombie one hit. That's not normally the case. Bobby, if I give you a pan right now, give you a guy who can't feel pain, runs at you really fast, and if he bites you, he's going to kill you. Do you think you can kill a zombie in one hit?
Frying pans weigh like 35 pounds.
Dude, they're heavy. Like cast iron, like Abuelita frying pan.
What I do like about the roguelite aspect of these games is because, let's say Nick is super diehard about this game, and he's level 45, and Bobby and I try it out, and we're level 3 and 4 because we barely even played it. He's going to have all the bells and whistles. He's going to run us through. But if there's a roguelike, we're all starting at zero. He might take it the lead as far as experience
instructions
goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, we're all in this together. We're starting at the same spot. Let's see how far we can go. And that's what we ran into in that other game, right?
Yeah, no. You know what's funny is, like, the last game I played, and which I didn't get to talk to and I'm so mad about, is actually with Diddy. And that was Remnant from the Ashes. That was the last thing I played before we left. Dude, and it's the same. It's what you just said is the situation. Like, Diddy's got, like, the big dick chungus gun that kills you in one hit. Like, and
of course, I shot him with it.
And I was like, ha ha, I'm shooting with you, my level 3 pistol. It's taking 5 damage off you. And he's like, watch this, son. And he shoots me in the pinky toe, and my body gets dissected. And I'm like, all right, let's play some roguelike. And so we actually played. We had a lot of fun. But that exact situation is the case here with Vermintide, because if you do have the level ups, if you do have all the gear, the game is super basic. But now with, you know, a roguelike, I want to pick this shit up.
Yeah.
I would love to play with
you
guys.
It's free.
Yeah, this is a free update.
Comes out tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Damn. Well, I fly back on Wednesday. Well,
this episode comes out tomorrow, so it's out right now.
Oh, it's right there.
Which is April 20th.
Bobby, you don't own this game.
420. Right? What?
You don't own this game.
I actually have an extra copy of this game.
Just talk there over my drug reference. Okay. Yeah, no, I'd love to play this game. I love the first one, but here's what's really weird. The first game didn't have what I always complain about other games. It didn't have that loot grind system. Like, I played through it and the levels were fun, but then after that I was like, why would I keep playing? It takes forever to get better gear. They had such a bad system for getting better gear. And I know a lot of those systems that other games have are just kind of grindy and just play off, you know, your compulsion. But I don't know. There's a middle ground somewhere. And the first Vermintide was way on the wrong end of it.
I remember that the second one was better about it, but
way better.
I didn't play that much about much of it, and I'm glad that I'm going to get my money's worth now because of this.
So, Bobby, when do you have free time after Wednesday?
Never,
because I have 2 weeks off additional.
End of May. End of May, things are going to get a little bit better.
Why do you hate me, Bobby? Why? Just tell me to my face. Am I here?
Yeah, I've been asking.
I love you so much.
All right. So this is called Chaos Wastes for those who are looking for it.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense as far as lore wise goes. The Chaos Wastes are these really frozen places. Shut up. They're frozen places where essentially people go to die. And if you think about it, and you die and you keep going out, it's a roguelike. So yeah,
there you go.
Next up is Shield Wall. I've actually had this on my wish list for like over a year. It's still in early access, Bobby. Can you answer
that?
Yeah, it's still in early access, but it is in the 90s for its positivity, although not a ton of people have played it. Right around 3,000 people have bought it. So it looks like Bobby, we just brought this up the other day about how for a while there in games, you have a small squad of like 4 dudes and you have some buttons. You're like, hey, stand over there and you go over here. But it never really works because whatever they do automatically just kind of works.
It doesn't really have any bearing or effect on the game.
Yeah. You just feel like you have some slaves that you could boss around or whatever. But in this, it seemed more to me like you control an entire group of guys almost as one character. It didn't really feel like as much as, obviously you can move the main guy around.
Yeah, they follow very closely to you. You're leading a horde of, looks like Roman centurions, and I'm sure you can play other other cultures, but you can change their formation. They can put their shields up to block arrows. Like, there's a few things that you can do that
you can make them throw javelins.
So yeah, from my understanding, because I've seen this game multiple times on YouTube, and I've been following the development of it. Some of the races have different range options, and some of them have different formation options. If you see here, like what's going on the screen, you'll see that the Roman centurions throw
javelins.
Darts. Well, they're actually darts.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, essentially javelins, because they're like long spears, but they're not really javelins. But there is an advantage to playing every culture or every color, because colors determine culture. Red is automatically the centurions. This game, dude, it looks so fun.
Like, it does look fun.
Multiplayer? This is multiplayer,
must be,
yeah.
Right?
Well, it was. It said that in the features, but then on the Steam page, it says single player only.
Yeah, which is weird.
Probably because of where it's at right now in development.
But the thing is, like, there were some high quality streamers that were playing this game, and they were playing it together, and they were like, "Ha ha! I totally fucking threw like 30 javelins in the back of your guy's head."
Well, it says in the features, create your own strategy in a game of 2 to 4 teams. Mm. But then it says here, single player and Steam Cloud. So maybe they haven't added those.
Yeah, maybe they haven't updated the tags.
I don't know. But yeah, it looked a lot like Tabs to me at first, but then you get to control one guy, and then you have you can commands. Call out commands.
You
to
can
the,
hire
the
people
troops.
Too.
But actual,
so maybe a little more interactive than Tabs,
and actually useful commands.
Four teams. Okay. Mm-hmm.
These are useful commands, though. Like, hey, we're gonna get pelted by a bunch of shit. Put your shields up. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's over. Let's hit them with ours.
And it looked like there was some sort of resource management. In
that so it looks like you're making money as you go, and then you could just hire new guys, and that's to replace the dudes that are dying. So hopefully you're making money faster than your guys are dying, I'm guessing.
So from what I'm seeing in the past, right, you have a constant generation
of
gold.
It's going to be all episode with this mic over here, dude.
Oh, sorry. From what I've seen in the past, I'm just going to eat the mic. From what I've seen in the past, like, your income is based off of what points you control. But there is a catch-up mechanic. Like, there is, like, a way if, like, someone's getting their ass kicked, they can turtle until they have enough soldiers and then go out there and kick ass.
With the full force. Because there's probably a cap.
It's 20 people in a squad.
Yeah. So, yeah, you could just turtle till your automatic money gets you what you need, and you could go out with the full force.
Exactly.
Interesting. I mean, it's cool. Seems fun. But, like I said, it's been on my wish list for over a year. Mm-hmm. It's only $12. I should just pick it up and play it.
Yeah, I'll play it.
Yeah, this looks good.
Yep.
So we got next on the list. We got
Talespire. Holy shit, does this give me a hard on, guys. So
let me guess, roguelike?
There, I don't know.
You have a hard on first to begin with.
There's a guy, fucking famous Hollywood guy. He's married to the voluptuous woman from Modern Family. His name is
Sofia Vergara?
Yeah. Joe Mags. Anyway, he's a smoke show, right? He's a really good-looking guy. But he's known for having this Hollywood-only D&D game, and he's the D&D guy. Like, anytime, like, Hollywood and D&D mix, they call this guy, and he's got every toy that's ever been made. You know, you can have D&D dungeons and it looks fucking awesome, right? But you need to have he has a dungeon in his house for D&D. And Sofia Vergara is upstairs with her big ass tits just fucking waiting for you to come upstairs. But anyway, you know, you're talking.
Is that the true, like, choose path? At the left of the stairs is Sofia Vergara. To the right of the stairs is the greatest D&D
dungeon
experience,
where all your friends are waiting with cigars and whiskey. Like, that's a tough call, dude. It depends how long ago you were up with Sofia, I guess. Anyway, he's got, you know, for his dungeon, you're talking like tens of thousands of dollars to set that thing up. But he has the quintessential what you would want. For us normies that don't have Sophia nor the money, there's this. Hopefully it is what I hope it is. It's called Talespire, and it is an engine where you can make models and campaigns for D&D, and your friends play through it. So I imagine the game master goes in and builds the whole set, and then you just move around these little tokens. And you have everything that Joe has minus Sophia. You know what I mean? Except for his characters don't have like lighting effects and throw magic and fireballs and stuff. These do. Hmm. So I think it's fucking awesome. I think it's really great.
Have you seen how some of like the more high level D&D players are playing D&D nowadays?
No.
With touchscreen TVs. And so they what? Make the map. They make the map on the TV, right? And they have the game table around the TV. And so, like, the dungeon master will draw the maps or buy the maps or make the maps. And then you move your character, and then the touchscreen TV tells you
what you
can do and everything. So this is nice, like you said, for the normies.
Yeah. It's $25.
We got to get Dwarf Paladin back in the game, man. We got, you know, we got to fuck them elementary school kids and their computers. We got to get Dwarf Paladin back in the game.
It's early access. There's only 300 reviews, but it's in, you know, it's 90%. Yeah, I really hope this is, it turns out being, the downside it looks like is, you know, this is a lot of work for the DM.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What would you rather have? This, where it's equal work for here's the thing. Would you rather have this where it's more true to D&D where you're moving tokens, you're rolling dice and shit, and the DM does a shit ton of the work, as someone who used to be a DM? Or would you rather have the Baldur's Gate experience and where they're advertising is like once Baldur's Gate is done and the modding is open, DMs are going to be able to make their own Baldur's Gates?
Well, that's what they tried to do with Divinity Original Sin 2. They had some sort of map maker, and it didn't work very well.
No, it didn't work. And then, like the people, man, me and my friends loved D&D so much in Divinity. We really tried doing those maps, and they just didn't fucking work.
Yeah, Minnie made one for us, and
yeah, it didn't work.
Yeah, he had to. There was a lot of fudging going on.
Well, here's the real question about this Talespire. I don't even want to call it a game. It's more like a software package. Tabletop.
Closer to TTS than it is.
Yeah, it's like tabletop simulator. But does one person have to have it? Other people can join? Or does everybody that use this, not just the DM, but the players themselves, have to buy this software?
Super good question, man.
That's a very good question.
I would imagine, my guess would be that only a DM would have to have it.
But that would be the dream situation.
I would guess the opposite.
I think the corporate situation, I think what it is the DM pays $15 for the schwoozy DM package, and then every normie pays $5.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's how I would do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is cool. It is cool,
though, right?
We really needed something like this, as much D&D is being played online right now.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, well, things are opening back up, so we'll see.
Bobby, this is something I thought you might, well, I don't know. We'll see if you're interested in this. So this happens, this is a game, it's a mystery game that happens within a social media website or whatever. It's making, it's basically Facebook. I think it's called like New Book or something like this in this game. And it's a mystery, and through your direct messages and the comments and what you put in your posts and all this stuff, you can try to figure out the mystery that way. I just thought it was a novel interface for a mystery.
I might have this game, actually.
Oh, really?
Oh boy.
Yeah. We haven't even mentioned the title. This game is called Emily is Away.
Yeah.
And it's an interactive story, and you play it as if you're sitting at a desktop, which is apparently Windows XP, and you are on a chat program that looks 95. Very similar to AOL Instant Messenger, and you are communicating with people, and the story unfolds from there. Yeah, it's a really interesting idea, but I swear, I've seen this game before. It's either been suggested to me or it's already in my library.
The reviews, I believe, are really good. It's free to play.
It's free to play, okay.
Oh, right up your alley, Bobby.
Yeah, it's in my price range.
He's like, whoa. If it's free, I want someone to pay me to play it, damn it.
Yeah.
But no, this, man, this is one of those things where like I feel like if you got a four-hour chunk of time, this is what you would like to occupy your time with, right?
Yeah.
If you don't want to do anything with no friends or nothing.
Yeah. No friends or nothing.
I'm not saying
which
that.
Which we already know you don't have any of.
What I'm saying is, even if you have friends, but you want something like you time and you want to explore a little story or something, this is what you want to hit up.
Yeah. Well, average play time is 55 minutes, so I assume this game is probably
about an hour.
An hour, maybe 2 hours long.
Dude, for free, and it tells a good story, why not, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you play this and you beat it and you give it a thumbs down, that's, you know, you got it for free. Like, what do you expect,
guys?
Yeah,
you can't complain. Yeah. Well, It's got 88% positive reviews on Steam, which is not bad.
For a free game, that's pretty good. Yeah.
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 All right. Well, we mentioned that we hadn't played too much this week. I did play a little bit more Generation Zero. I'm just going to reiterate what I said last time. This game is actually pretty good, but I hate the inventory system. I absolutely hate it. I imagine that will become less of a problem when you play more of the game and you get more used to it. But it doesn't make sense to me, the way you manage your inventory in this game and you try to put attachments on weapons.
Is this the Robo game survival thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's a crafting survival game, but you actually level up in it and you have missions that you need to complete. And there's actually a storyline as well. And it takes place in 1980s Sweden, which I thought was really interesting. I'm curious as to how well it's portraying that setting. But yeah, and of course I'm playing with friends, so it's always better when you do that.
When you play with friends, do you have like that one dude that knows like how to make the bottle rocket with like the stick and the gunpowder and all that shit? Or are you playing with like people that all have the same level of intelligence?
You know, there's not
intelligence. I should say
wisdom,
game knowledge.
There's definitely one player who's more experienced at the game, but so not ridiculously high. So what happens? What happened last time is I forgot to turn off the anybody can join setting.
Oh, no.
And we had some high level join in. It was just blowing stuff up and it wasn't very fun. So you need to avoid that.
But yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you shoot robot dogs. They all have weak points. You shoot the gas can. There's big giant robots. It's not bad.
That's saying something, Bobby, that you went back to this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that actually says a lot.
Well, it helps that other people are playing it on the server, on our Discord server.
I swear to God, when I go back home and I'm playing Squad and I have four other people from the Discord server playing
Squad. Well, you know my window, man. It's Fridays.
Fridays. No more Stellaris or whatever the fuck it is.
No, Pulsar? No, Pulsar. That's at 7, but I got some time before that.
I got everything before 3 to 7 and 9 after that. That's about it. And then it's my bedtime.
That's kind of how my life is now. I got to pencil things in.
Johnny.
That's all right. So tell us,
hey.
We brought you on for one reason only.
Not because we love you.
Outriders.
All right. Outriders. So I think you talked about this, it was a few weeks ago now, wasn't it, Emilio? 2-3, when we played the demo?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe a month. Maybe.
Yeah. And just for a recap, right, and Bobby will, of course, correct me if I say anything wrong. Outriders is from People Can Fly, and it's the same studio, I believe, that did, like, Bulletstorm and a few of the Gears of War, if not all of them.
But they did the Painkiller games back in the day. Which
Painkiller, that too, yep.
Yeah, but then they got, I think Epic took them in, and that's when they made Bulletstorm. So, I don't know. Some people said when that came out, it was kind of a compromised game because Epic was trying to get their way, and it sacrificed some of the creativity. But yeah, these guys are definitely, I enjoy the games that they make.
What the hell is he doing? What's he playing with?
I am so fucking sorry.
Sam brought in a jar for us to unscrew or whatever. Take the
top
off.
How difficult to open.
It was so hard. It was so hard. I couldn't do it. I passed it to Nick, and now he looks like a tomato. But he got it done.
But no, dude, I think Outriders looks so good. I'm so sorry I missed the first two sentences because of the fruit situation.
No, that's all right. So yeah, we did the demo a handful of weeks ago, and kind of our recap, right, was it was a little janky. It was fun. It was a little Division 2 meets Gears of War meets Destiny kind of mixed bag looter shooter. But definitely didn't feel like a $60 game, and then there was the whole confusion around, is it Xbox Game Pass? Is it not? Well, it is, but not for PC. So I was one of those people that held out, right? I'm thinking, God, it's got to be going on Xbox Game Pass at some point, or maybe it will, and it's just confusion or whatnot. But the short version for me is I started to get FOMO pretty bad with some of the people I saw online playing it, streamers, all that stuff. Seeing some of the end game and some of the boss battles and stuff as that started rolling out on Twitch and whatnot. So I broke down about a week ago and picked it up. And me and quite a few other people, I think actually if you look at like sales numbers, it's like number three for a free game on Xbox Game Pass. It's still like from a sales perspective, ranked number three, which is actually pretty sweet as of last week.
You paid 60 or was there any kind of sale?
There wasn't a sale that I saw, so I paid full price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
but I heard there were a lot of bugs in this game. Have you encountered a lot of technical issues?
So I was kind of holding back from playing it because of the bugs and the issues. So I know they had like an inventory wipe bug where everybody lost all their inventory. And I don't know that they have like gotten back to those people on some sort of compensation or something. But there's people that were in endgame, et cetera, and lost their entire suite of inventory, all their gear, everything.
So go ahead. With this, Diddy, do you feel like this is a game where even if you pay $60, right, and we talked about this earlier, where one person can kind of lead the pack, is there leveling and things like that, or and loot, where if you get it, you're really obviously far ahead of people? Because I feel like in a $60 game atmosphere, as soon as somebody has like the lead, if you're not buying the game within like the first 2 weeks, you're at either a severe disadvantage or like you're having the lack of fun that only my friend is killing everybody kind of situation.
Yeah, and I haven't played with that big of a level gap between people. What I've seen is people are like, oh, I'll roll my other character. So, I mean, there's four different classes, so people can just roll, you know, up to four different characters, I think, maybe even more. So they'll just roll a new character, or, hey, I've got one that's level five if you're level seven or whatever, and you're close enough, and then we'll play through it together. So that's basically kind of what I've been seeing, is people will just roll a different character that's more aligned with your level.
Okay. And for the $60, you're saying, where are you falling? You feel like you're getting your money's worth?
I think I am so far. It's still high. I think it's a buy it on a sale kind of game, but it really boils down to, are you going to have a group of buddies that you're going to play it with? It's three person, up to three people co-op. And I think that's where it really shines, is just playing with your buddies and having a good time. If you're looking for, you know, a nice campaign to play through with a group of buddies, I think it's hitting on all the markers, but I would say it's probably not a $60 game. It's probably a get it on sale kind of game.
And you said that it does a few things that other looter shooters should take a look at.
Yeah, so one of the things that has just been really awesome is the what I'll call creature comforts or lazy gamer like me kind of things that's incorporated into the
game. Quality of life stuff.
That's right. Lots of quality of life stuff. So, like, I'm a big max min type of person where if they will let me, I will tinker left and right with different combinations of things. This game has that in spades. You can redo your skill tree whenever you want. You can respec. Weapons of a certain tier and up have mod slots. And once you dismantle a weapon that comes with a mod, you learn that mod. And you can apply that to 1 to N of your weapons. And so the more mod slots they have, the different combinations of things you can do with them and all that stuff. So you can swap those out.
Like synergies and stuff.
Yeah.
Like give me an example of a couple of mods that you put on one gun.
Like right now I have a gun. I'm playing a Technomancer, which a lot of their abilities are long range and freeze based. So, like, my melee attack freezes. I have a turret that I toss out that freezes. Well, one of the mods that I really like has a, I think it's a 4-second interval freeze on a shot. So I applied that to all my guns. So now I'm just constantly slowing enemies down. And I'm playing with a buddy that's a Devastator, which is up close, personal, tanky guy. And so I'll be freezing everything I can. And he's just going up and destroying them, pouncing on them, Hulk smash, whole nine yards. So it's pretty fun in that way.
That you just kind of
adhere to the play style. Go ahead.
I said that sounds pretty fun.
Yeah, it's been really cool. And like in the inventory system too, one of the things that I really enjoy, again, being a lazy gamer, is they have a way to mark your gear before you dismantle it. And so you can mark multiple things, but it also has tiers you can mark. So you can mark all the whites, you can mark all the greens, you can mark any combination of those, and then just go and dismantle them all. So it's really easy to clear out your inventory and do inventory management in that way.
And you said you could loot everything from the level in one button or something?
That's right. The mystical, magical H button. We had no idea this existed, right? Because it was F or whatever to loot. But within a given level, before you go to a next area or whatever, you and your buddies can all split up and go looking for chests after you clear out the enemies. And then all you have to do is call out, hey, I found a chest. And then everybody hits H, or whoever wants to hits H, and that does an area loot. And it'll loot everything in that level. And then you just move on. So everybody can split up, get loot. Everybody hits H to farm all the loot that's dropped on the ground, and then you go to the next area.
And I do remember, like, the little bit that we played, I did enjoy the treasure hunt of the, you know, looking for those treasure boxes. Yeah. I mean, it's always fun. It's inherently fun looking for those things. And, you know, unlike Borderlands, we're just like, there's just 1,000 guns all over the place, and you don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, you can just auto-loot everything before you hop into the next zone. Go through, did you find anything that's better than what you had? If not, dismantle all the greens or whatever you want real quick. So it's really dynamic in that sense.
Is there no limit to your inventory space?
There is, but with how easy it is to dismantle stuff, and it gives you materials then for upgrades, like, I just dismantle stuff as I go. I've never capped out at all in my inventory space, because you can do it real time.
So one question I have about this, and this is one thing that this podcast really focuses on, is game price compared to game satisfaction. John, when's the last time you bought a $60 game, and what was it?
Ooh, good question. I'd have to think about it.
Yeah, I'm thinking it for you.
I don't remember.
I'll tell you right now.
Yeah.
Last of Us 2.
Oh, yeah, and that's worth it, obviously. Yeah,
you're right. Yep, I definitely did.
Would you say this is the last one too?
It's not fair, man.
No, Spider-Man. I was trying to think of a PC one, but yeah, I bought Cyberpunk 5 and 4 games.
Cyberpunk, that's another one.
But yeah, I paid full price for. Yeah, so this compared to Cyberpunk, I'm enjoying this way more. And I would. I've stayed away from Cyberpunk for the same reasons Emilio has, because of the bugs, because I'm waiting for it to get cleaned up. I felt like this game, they got the inventory bug fixed. They got cross play now, so you can play with PlayStation people, you can play with Xbox people from PC. I thought that was kind of the two main big things that I wanted to see fixed before I was going to jump in and see if I could play with people.
Well, you're painting a pretty picture, dude. I enjoyed
really it.
The best part of this game was the combat, and that's what you want out of a looter shooter.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Emilio, I'm skipping cut. Like, there's this good story there. It's not bad. I'm skipping it because I just want to shoot stuff. Yeah. So I'm just playing through levels. Yeah. Oh, and then one more thing that we didn't really mess around with, that we didn't think about. So you have your level, right? Your character level progression, but then there's also what's called a world tier progression, and it shows that leveling up as well. And what that is kind of a difficulty scaling, and as you level up, you can optionally then go to the next tier up as that unlocks, and that makes the enemies harder, and it makes the loot better. So you're constantly kind of going through watching, okay, am I about to level my character? Yes. Oh, I just also unlocked the next, world tier. So do we want to go to the next world tier? Do we feel like we're doing good against these guys, that we can handle this boss fight a little bit harder? And so you're making those trades real time of, hey, do I want to do a little more risk for reward?
It's like Borderlands Mayhem mode, but in Borderlands, you have to beat the game first, the story mode, which is ridiculous. That's what I spent a month on last month. This is just built in, so why wouldn't you? Why would you put that behind a 30-hour fucking play wall? Yeah, I just made up a new term.
So Bobby, for you, if it came down, like, all this is free, right? If it came down to Vermintide 2... Remnant from the Ashes. Vermintide 2. What's it called? Roguelike mode. Remnant from the Ashes. Roguelike mode. Or Outriders. What are you playing? And you got time.
Probably Vermintide 2.
That's what we're playing for today.
He got you, dude. He got you. Sounds like you're sucked in.
I haven't played a game with Bobby in so fucking long, and I just want it so bad, because God, it's so fun playing with him. The last game we played was that weird game where you had to sneak in through the, you're like a convict, and you hate the organization is making you go through shit, and there was like spores on the walls, and there was like big guys, and you were the sniper guy, and we played with Diddy.
Oh yeah, what is that game? That was a good game.
Fuck out. Well, GTFO.
GTFO.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to get another GTFO on.
Yeah, that was a good time.
That was good. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you played video games this week because we did not, dude.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you so much. Bellicor? What's Bellicor?
So this ties into the Warhammer fantasy. I wanted to say this earlier, but, you know, I'm stupid.
Bellicor means Emilio gets a drink in El Español.
Yes. Can you give me one too, please? Whiskey and Coke, please. I appreciate it. Thank you. Ice. I love you. So one of the biggest bad guys of Warhammer fantasy and Warhammer 40K is being re-released. So Bellicor is the Demon Prince of Shadows. This guy has like crazy powers. As you may know by osmosis, Bobby, there are four chaos gods, you know, Khorne, Nurgle, Slaanesh, and Tzeentch. Mm-hmm. And a demon prince is someone or something that has been granted powers, immense power by either one of those gods. But Bellicor is the first demon prince. And not only is he the first demon prince, but he is the first demon prince that all four gods agreed to create together. And he's so badass and so cool, he decided to say, fuck y'all, I got my own thing to worry about, and he no longer really obeys them, both in the fantasy universe and the 40K universe. And because I didn't play many video games, and because I'm known as the 40K guy, I wanted to show off this model that's coming out. It's, I believe, 18 inches tall. So it's about
shit
yay tall, and it's about 18 inches wide. So from wing to ground, and from wingtip to wingtip, it's huge. It's $140, and it's going to be the first large model I'll ever purchase. It's things like this in the Warhammer universe, both fantasy and 40K, that get me to play the games. And it's characters like this that I wish other games had, as far as like bad guys and stuff, that would actually like advertise me to play video games that I have nothing to know about. Thank you.
So it looks like there is some. Oh, so this is a model. You straight up have to assemble it and paint it.
Yes, 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 yes. They come gray as can be.
Okay.
And so not only when you buy this guy, you get him, but if you scroll down a little bit and you look at his model, you see the dead guy at the bottom. Sorry, go up. You see how there's like a dead guy laying there?
Yeah.
You can choose which dead guy it is. You can choose whether it's a chaos guy, or you can choose it's a space marine. Wow. So you know whether or not it's 40K or fantasy.
Oh, that's cool.
And so, yeah, he's the latest large model to be released. He's super fucking cool. He requires 28 paints to paint.
I mean, that's if you do it like the way they're schematic, right?
Exactly.
You can fuck with it, although it looks badass.
I'm buying one for Bobby, and he's going to paint it. Nice. It's Friday time, so just kidding.
He never finished painting the other ones, right, Bobby?
I painted two of them.
I got to see him.
Yeah, I actually did something different with each one. I don't know what I'm going to do for the third. This guy, I'm looking at Bellicor here, and he has got all these chains on his wings. This looks very elaborate.
He's fucking badass.
Dude, isn't being the bad guy fucking cool sometimes compared to being like the 9'2" sterotic dude from like worshiping some corpse on a chair? Yeah, he's got chains on his wings. They stand for different things in the fantasy and the 40K universe. But they're essentially like trophies of all like the important people he's killed. And this is like going to be my magnum opus. And so I can't wait to
paint it up, man.
I'm so afraid.
You can always paint over it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, how's that work? Say you fuck up, you know, you do seven strokes on the wrong area, and you're like, oh, that's the wrong color. What do you do?
You just cry.
Well, you can't use, like, acetone?
So you can use acetone, but you have to be as accurate with the acetone as you are with the paint. Back to the PC Gaming Podcast. Bellicor might be one of the main bad guys in the up-and-coming Darktide because it's a Nurgle reference. And so people want to see him in animation. And in the movie podcast, the Mads Mikkelsen dream and hope for all the Warhammer fans, they're making a Warhammer 40K show. Amazon is supposed to pick it up. It follows a character named Inquisitor Eisenhorn, and Bellacor is one of the people that Eisenhorn speaks to. And essentially, Bellacor snitches on other demons, and the Inquisitor blows them all up.
Oh, interesting. And so, that is cool.
Yeah.
This I got to say, this is probably the coolest model, 40K model I've ever seen.
Yeah. And so, yeah, man. Did he... If you didn't have snakes, what would you be into?
40K. What do you would expect?
That's right.
That's right, damn it.
Painting 3D models.
But no, yeah, that's the only topic I really have for the whole podcast.
I played a video game, guys. I played Trials of Fire. Thank you, John, for telling me about it.
Yeah.
I didn't play it much. I played it for about an hour. But I played it enough to understand a couple mechanics that make this game different than others. So it is tactical turn-based. You're playing as these little tokens with a just a face painted on them. You know, just think of it like a board game. And you have your classic warrior, archer, mage is the three that you start with. Mm-hmm. And each of them has their own hand of cards. So when you click on one character, you see the cards that they're holding, and then when you're ready to go to the next character, and so on and so on. But you can go back and forth between them as well. So there's no order that you have to go in. The weird thing that I've never seen before, I don't think, is that the cards, your characters don't get AP automatically. Any other tactical turn base, every turn, you get 2 AP, 4 AP, depending on what you spec into, mm-hmm. and you could move and then shoot with that AP.
Well, in Mechanicus, you also, there was a way to earn additional points. Yeah.
Well, this one, you start with You're zero. Welcome. You just have zero, but you have a hand of cards. Mm-hmm. What you can do is, some of the cards give you grant AP.
Is your dog scratching his nuts?
Yeah, he is. some cards grant AP by, like, move two spaces, gain one AP. So that would be like a move card. But okay. you can burn your cards, throw them in the graveyard, and each one gives you one AP. So you can't really go like... You can't just use your whole hand every time. Mm. You have to pick that one that you want, see how... There's a lot of like AP management. How am I going to move...
Jacko, out!
How are you... I mean, we're super entertaining. I could see why he's in here watching us. There's strategy in, not, outside of the game strategy, there's this meta strategy of how you're going to use your cards, what card you're going to use, and how you're going to gain the AP to use that card. So that was cool. It's good to see something new. The other thing that's semi-new is the amount of bonus that you get for surrounding your opponent is gigantic. Like, if you are standing adjacent to a teammate and you attack a guy that he's adjacent to too, they automatically mimic your attack. So if I hit somebody, then it's double attack. If you have three characters there, you get a triple attack for one AP. Wow. So, it, you know, a lot of games, you'll stand on the mountain and you'll get more range because you're elevated.
Yeah.
But in a way, that's tactical. For sure it is. But it's a different kind of tactical as chess or checkers, which is more like what this is. The positioning is so important. And it's not just a hexagon grid. The hexagon grid has rocks and stuff in it, too. And that stuff really comes into play when you're trying to flank and surround your opponent. So it turns something really basic looking into a very complex game. It's getting really good reviews. It's $25, so it's a little on the pricier side. But yeah, as I play it more, I'll talk about it some more.
It's only $20.
$20, sorry.
It's being advertised all over the place online right now. I saw it on a couple wiki pages and stuff like that.
Yep, me but too.
For Bobby and John, when it comes to this kind of stuff, would you say the more exciting thing is to learn how the mechanic works or the actual gameplay itself?
What's the difference?
The gameplay itself being like the characters, the graphics, everything like that, or would it be like I said, the mechanic itself?
I don't know. I think with just about any strategy game, it's mostly about the mechanics, because you could really dress this up however you want, and all that's great. But if something is, people play the ugliest games as long as they're fun.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What about you, dude?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I really enjoy the mechanics, whether it be, you know, a really graphically intense game or something that's really simplistic. Is if the mechanics are fun, I mean, that's where it's at. I mean, shit, we play with, you know, a 52-card poker deck, right? And
yeah,
a lot of fun games out there. It's all based on mechanics.
Bobby, would you ever play Mechanicus 2?
There's a second one?
I'm saying if it came out.
Oh, if it came out? Yeah, I'd check it out. I really enjoyed the first one.
That makes my heart smile.
Yeah, so it's good. I would recommend it based on tiny bit that I played. But this is what I will play next time I sit at my computer, most likely. Cool. Although I did challenge Nick to some Street Fighter because he seems to think that he's better than me.
Yeah, hopefully Bobby gets in on that too. Yeah, you want to join, Diddy?
Yeah, sure. Maybe. I might have to do snake shit.
I gotta do snake shit.
A little bit of news. The invites for Xbox Cloud Gaming have started to go out. So this is kind of like Stadia, except for it is what we wanted Stadia to be. You pay one low price and you get to play all the games. So everything on Xbox Game Pass.
What?
Yeah. You can stream to anything that can play Chrome or iOS. So you can turn any tablet into, well, you know, with a good, strong internet connection, you could turn anything into a gaming machine.
But here's the thing. Here's my objection with it, right? Here's my objection with it. Thank you for that. God damn, does Google have so many resources, right? They have the umpteenth resources. If Google can't fucking do it, what makes you think Microsoft can?
Well, in my experience, it wasn't the games or the service that was fucking up. It was their pay model. That's what really fucked everybody up. Yeah. For Stadia, you had to pay full price for games.
What?
Yeah. Every game was a full price.
You don't pay no sub?
No, there's no subscription model. They implemented one, but it was like some weird thing where once a month they would give a game out. And that was it.
Like PlayStation Plus?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Oh man, that's awful.
Yeah.
Well, and that's shit works. Confusing too, because you had to buy the service, didn't you?
You had to get the
service, and then on top of that, you buy the games that you wanted. It was messy, and it was just kind of for Google, who does a lot of things very simply and effectively. It was really surprising to see something.
It was
so
a mess.
Messy.
Yeah.
But I know Google and Microsoft, obviously very different companies, but that even if. The Google couldn't pay it off. It scares me.
But technically they pulled it off.
It's just nobody fucking bought it.
When Cyberpunk came out, everybody was saying the best place to play Cyberpunk is Stadia.
Yeah, because nobody's fucking playing it. If everybody's playing it, then their server
they have supercomputers running the game. And so there was, you know, on the server side.
Oh, because no one has the tech to play, you know, Cyberpunk at max settings.
Yeah, right. Exactly. The best place happened to be Stadia. So the technology works. Their business sucked. Xbox's business is good. And if they have the same tech or comparable, they might have something here. All they're doing is trying to get the entire world on Game Pass. Bobby's holding out, but...
And Joe, it's 50 cents, damn it. I ain't going to pay for it.
Be the last person on Earth not on Game Pass.
Yeah. So they're just trying to enrich this the subscription model.
Okay.
As much as possible. And I think it's a good direction to go.
It sounds simple, right? It's like, hey, it's just Game Pass, but you can play it in a browser now.
That's which is such difference. A good fucking name when you think about it. Just,
dude,
Game Pass.
What if... Yeah. What if... You start playing these games in a browser, you know, somebody who's about to upgrade. Bobby, you said you can't play Star Citizen, right?
Actually, no. I've been playing it. As soon as I got into that one area, it's been a lot better.
Okay. But let's say...
You couldn't play Star Citizen.
Yeah, let's say. And you were thinking about upgrading. And this works. This is everything that it says it is. You could play all your Xbox Game Pass games on Chrome with, you know, 60 frames per second without having to spend $2,000 on a graphics card. Ideally. It's interesting, right?
It's interesting, but here's the conspiracy theorist in me. And, like, I'm going to get real Alex Jones here. I think there's too much money in video cards. I think there's too much money in building rigs. I think there's too much money in that where Stadia or Game Pass is going to be perfect to the point where it's, like, uncomparable or, if not better, than what we have now.
Eventually, yeah, I think so.
I think eventually as well. I think that's 10 years in the making.
I played Destiny 2 on
Stadia.
On Stadia, just to test it out, really. And you feel like you are watching or playing...
A stream.
Yeah, it feels like...
See, I don't like that.
It doesn't have that video game look to it. You can tell, like, it's a video output of that.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. You know, even having, humble brag, a 3070 and all the rig I have, there is a frame drop. There is this and that. Like, my computer is obviously adjusting to whatever game I'm fucking playing. Not everything is... 144 hertz frames, all that kind of stuff. But I can see where Bobby's coming from, where it's like, if it's just streamed to you, it just seems like you're playing a stream.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like when you're playing remote play together on Steam.
Which is weird.
You're literally playing a stream.
Yeah.
And, it doesn't feel perfectly right, but, you know, it works.
I think rigs are like guns. Where even if they become outdated, people are going to still like to build them and do the things they like to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And hot rods and stuff
and
like that.
And all that shit. No one needs a lowrider, but they're still, you know, the Chicanos building lowriders.
Yeah, for sure.
And they look cool, you know. I think that's what it's going to be. Even if Stadia or Game Pass becomes perfect, I still think there's going to be the homies that make the rigs.
Yeah, absolutely. Where else? this is so, I'm embarrassed. Not a whole lot embarrassed of me, Bobby. I've said a lot of things on this podcast, but I'm a little embarrassed about this. Oh. I was looking for an audiobook. I was seeing what's popular. I said sci-fi.
I gave you 54 audiobooks to play. The Horus Heresy, you asshole.
I lost interest. Click on Infinite 2, Bobby, please.
Infinite 2, paperback?
Yeah, because I listened to Infinite 2 before Infinite 1. Why?
You're crazy.
Does that not look like infinite squared?
It does. With the two in the top right, that's infinite squared,
right?
Well, if the first one was infinite,
I didn't know that there was a first one, dude. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking for stuff. I see this on the top sellers list, and I was like, oh, infinite squared. That's a great name. Like, it doesn't really mean a whole lot, but it's a cool sci-fi name. So I just assumed it was infinite squared. Listen to the whole thing. It was great, by the way. Really, really enjoyed it. And then at the end, which I thought was really good, the author just talks directly to the listener, and I thought it was really good, man. He was talking about how, like, his challenges of writing a different book. He compared himself to M. Night Shyamalan because of the success of his first book, Infinite, and how do you follow up with a sequel. Do you do the same thing again? How do you make, you know, a one-trick pony work again? And all this stuff. And he's talking, like, really, and how he was dying at the time, which was really interesting, too. And I was like, oh, wow, this is... I was like, what? First book? What are you talking about? And so I was like, oh, there's an infinite one. And then after the heart-to-heart that he has with you, there's a blooper reel of the guy who reads it, who... knocked it out of the park, by the way. Just him fucking up on audio, you know, all the retakes and all, and him doing la, 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 and stuff. And it was really funny. I was like, oh, this is awesome. I've never had that in an audiobook before.
It's really interesting because as someone who's listened to a couple audiobooks myself, that I've never had that experience at all.
I've listened to a lot. And no, I've never heard that. So then I listened to Infinite 1, and it's funny. I didn't like it as much as Infinite 2.
I was about to ask you. So
you know, we're all a bunch of fucking nerds here, right? If you listen to Infinite 2 or read Infinite 2, right?
Infinite Squared, sir.
Infinite Squared. For the uncultured, Infinite Squared. And then you go, oh, shit, there's a book one. Do you feel like book one is prequel? Or do you feel like, oh, fuck, I fucked it up. I should watch it. You know, I should listen to Infinite.
It was, yeah, I was like, there was like some unanswered questions. I was like, why is this guy like this? Like, I... And then, obviously, now I know. Maybe that's why I didn't like it as much, because I kind of knew some of the answers and didn't know other things.
There's so many prequels and nonlinear timelines and storytelling in movies these days that I almost feel more comfortable reading things backwards or watching things backwards.
As long as it's canon, Bobby. That's all I care about.
How do you feel about Obi-Wan Kenobi, then?
Oh, what about him?
No, what I'm saying is they're making the new show.
Oh.
And they're telling some stories that we never heard of. Like,
well, that's great.
Here's my thing about, like, especially with...
Let me ask you a question and then tell you what I think, Bobby.
Yes, I'm sorry, I'm an asshole. But here's my thing about that. Like, we know Obi-Wan Kenobi is not going to fucking die during
that's
the prequel,
true.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's the worst part about prequels, especially when it contains a key character.
Mm-hmm.
But that's almost the case with every superhero movie ever. They always win.
Yeah. Well, the trap I think you fall into with the prequels, you're right. You can't kill off the character. But Solo, the Star Wars movie, is a perfect example of this. The problem you run into is kind of what happens in a lot of movies like Mank that we talked about on our podcast, Movies on the DL. Check it out wherever podcasts are found. But you end up creating a movie that just tries to create a backstory for all these little things. Like if you look at the Solo ones, they have Han a little thing about Han shooting first. They have a thing about the ejection pod and the Millennium Falcon, like all these little things that are supposed to make you go, oh, that's how that happened. And like at a certain point, you're just kind of over that a little bit. So
the famous game of Sabacc.
Yeah. The famous game of Sabacc where he loses, or he wins the Falcon, and like he's at the very end. Oh, we've got a new job with this guy named Jabba the Hutt.
He has a henchman named Darth Maul. So
it's just like you're beating people over the head with that, and it's like just too much fan service.
So here's my thing for you and Diddy, because I want Diddy to talk, and I love hearing his voice.
Would you
rather have a prequel like that, where, you know, main character not going to die, main character homie not going to die, a.k.a. Chewbacca, rest in peace, original actor.
Killed by a moon.
Would you rather have that, or would you rather have the Rogue One story, where you kind of know everyone's going to die, but it's more information to process?
Oh yeah, I think I don't think it matters either way. I think you just have to do it right. Like there's a right way and a wrong way to do it, and it's really tricky to find out what that is.
And as a fat fucking nerd, people in Diddy chime in here as far as like, how do you think? What do you think is better?
I'm gonna go with like a Rogue One type story where, you know, there's a little bit more emotion to the people that end up having something happen to them or die off or whatever. You get more of that backstory of what's going on in their lives, how they help develop. I think that makes it more entertaining to me.
Who fucking directed that? That was three Star Wars movies.
That's my favorite Star Wars movie.
Sure. Yeah. For
everybody
sure.
That's like, what's your favorite Star Wars movie? You like movies? I go, Rogue One. Hands down.
Yeah.
You get to see the TIE Interceptor, the TIE Bomber, the Y-Wing, A-Wing, all this other shit that you only hear about in books, but you actually get to see it on the screen. I'm a huge lore guy, right? I can watch a thousand Warhammer movies, and I'm like, cool, I just want to know about this one thing that happened in this one location, thank you.
That's funny that you, like, all those things you listed, I mean, I watched the same movie you did. Didn't care about any of that. I thought it was a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
So it's great that I can like it for my reasons and you can like it for your reasons.
The only thing I really didn't like about that movie, there might have been a few things, but what I really didn't like about that movie, it does the broad movie theater humor at one point.
Yeah.
Where a few points in the movie, but one that always stood out to me. Yeah, I mean, it's a Star Wars movie. It's a big budget. It's playing to the theater. I get it. But the one that always sticks out to me is where they put the bag over the head of the blind guy. You know, they're putting the bag over everyone's head. And then, like, the joke is like, haha, we're putting it on the blind guy. And it's like, okay, that's funny. But then he goes, ah, come on, or something like that. It could only be worse if he just turned and looked right at the camera as he did that. Like,
the force is telling me to look at the camera.
Yeah. Like, just...
So, like, you say that, though, but, like, the thing that gives me, like, the ultimate nerd boner is, like, that goes, oh, my God, they're using an ionic cannon to shoot AT-ATs in the legs, and the AT-ATs fall over. Meanwhile, like, you watch the original Star Wars movie, you're like, the only way we can defeat the AT-ATs is with wires. But, like, you obviously, in the games, in the books, and all this other shit, they're like, ionic cannons, that's what destroys mechanical hardware.
Yeah.
And then in Rogue One, they're like, they use that shit. Well, you know, that's how it's supposed to be. And so that's why...
Anybody have any rope?
Anybody have this rope for this big-ass walking dog that's made out of metal?
Anyway, Infinite 1 and 2, fucking great. Really good. A lot of interesting thoughts. And that's hard to do, you know. It's hard to do new sci-fi.
Very hard.
Yeah, I feel very like hard. We're getting to the point where, like, in regular time, we're catching up. Sci-fi's catching, or reality's catching up to a lot of sci-fi. Mm-hmm. So to do something completely, not completely new, but a mix of ideas and pull it off is good.
Definitely. Uh-huh. Sorry for that tangent, by the way.
It seemed pretty productive.
Yeah, it was good.
So do you want to shout out subs?
Yeah, we've got two subs coming in, one from JP Diddy, 23 months. Wow.
Damn.
While he's on the show.
You are a saint, man.
Up from behind, King.
You better... Do you want to be on the Not Safe for Work podcast?
Sometimes I think that...
It would be interesting.
I'm just talking to Warconius and JP Diddy. They're the only two out there sometimes.
They're friends.
Another sub from Katoom250, 10 months. Nice.
Thank you, dude.
Appreciate all right. It. Almost at that year.
Are you on Discord, and what is your name on Discord?
Let us know.
Yeah, let us know. Okay, listener questions.
All right, we've got two from Warconius here.
Okay.
These are kind of comments on what we talked about last episode. We talked about Age of Empires 2, and I was talking about the voices, the barks from the characters, and I wasn't sure if that was really the language or just gibberish made to sound like the language.
No, it's really the language.
Definitely, yeah. My guess would be that.
Especially the Portuguese ones, the Spanish ones. Mm-hmm. All that kind of stuff.
Well, that's what he says here. He says, AOE 2 units do speak the native languages. I also used the Ottomans, or the Turks. That's the one that I played all the time. Most of the time, and knowing a little Turkish, I remember noticing the peasants say, Efendim. That's how they say it, too. I've heard that millions of times because I played them so much. Efendim, which is a formal way of saying pardon. Also, Age of Mythology is my favorite. Well, I'm glad you like Age of Mythology, because I really enjoyed that one, too.
Yeah, with the lightning
lizards. I went back and played that not a long, long time ago, like maybe 5 years ago. That game came out 2004, 5-ish.
Critically, it didn't do well, right?
I don't think it was as popular. Neither was Age of Empires 3. Nothing could, you know, beat Age of Empires 2.
But didn't Age of Empires 2 have a ripoff by... it literally almost looks like the same exact engines and buildings, but it's...
Star Wars?
No, that's Star Wars. What is it called? It's like they even go farther, and where you can like go into like the nuclear era and things like that. It's something Europa, or like it's something...
Oh, Europa...
No, it's not. Europa Universalis.
No. I'm going to use the restroom real quick. I hate to retreat and pull an Emilio, but y'all keep talking about this. I'm going to come up with it, and I'm going to fucking completely interrupt you guys.
He's literally going to go and pull this out of his ass.
Eh?
Hey.
Okay, next question from Warconius. A bit long here, but let's get to it.
Warconius.
Also wanted to comment on the discussion regarding state of the industry that Emilio was so wrong about. Wow, okay. What he highlighted was more of a Sony AAA problem rather than an industry issue. Sony has decided to internally just develop massive AAA hits, and the pandemic has caused havoc on AAA development, whereas Microsoft has decided to go with a more smorgasbord approach to internal development. Question being, those big Sony tentpole games are very popular. Do you see Microsoft being able to eventually come out with games that rival those?
I don't think they're trying, man. I mean,
I agree.
I wish they would. I think they hope that one of their Gears games is going to be like, this is the holy grail of gaming. But yeah, like you said, the smorgasbord. They're throwing everything at the wall, spending all the money, and hopefully, if everybody in the world but Bobby is on Game Pass, they're just going to make all that money back. They're just enriching Game Pass until the point where you'd have to be a non-gamer or have zero time to not have it.
Well, they seem like they're focusing more on, I guess you could say, infrastructure than games right now. They're trying to get this cloud thing going. They've got Game Pass going.
Crossplay.
Yeah, crossplay between Windows or PC and Xbox.
Oh, and we didn't bring this up, I don't think. Them coming to... I saw somebody asking something about Game Pass going on Steam. Have we seen any of this? This is worth looking up, I think.
Sounds vaguely familiar, but I feel like that's something that I would definitely know.
But that's huge, right? Like, because somebody was saying, like, why would they do that? How does it benefit Game Pass? Let's see what happens here.
That's a Steam group.
Oh.
Valve is trying to get Xbox Game Pass on Steam. Oh, that's a rumor.
Oh, it's a rumor. I see.
So, yeah, I don't know. But they're doing a lot of things kind of like that where it seems like a real long-term approach to all of this.
Even if it looks like they're losing money, and they probably are at the beginning, in the long term, when the entire world is on Game Pass, they'll get it back.
Yeah.
Well, and to draw a parallel, right? So Xbox is doing their Game Pass subscription, which us as PC gamers get a benefit from. Now, if you draw a parallel to what PlayStation does, right? PlayStation has their PlayStation Plus or whatever it's called, where you get, you know, monthly games that they release and you can claim, as well as a library of games. It's a very similar, albeit different, approach to it, but the biggest disconnect, right, is the PC gamer aspect to it, right? Microsoft's basically canoodling with PC gamers in a good way to help us get a slew of games and crossplay and all that fun stuff. It's definitely a more interesting approach.
I feel like at some boardroom meeting, somebody was like, guys, Xbox isn't just Xbox. If we want, there's all these guys over here that nobody claims, all these PC gamers that we could just give a hug and bring them in, and Sony can't do a goddamn thing about it. And that's what fucking happened.
Right.
Right?
I mean, it is Microsoft.
Yeah, right.
You'd hope that they think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as me being wrong, I think the way that I think, you know, when I say as an industry problem, you know, a lot of times people will say that you look at the biggest players in the game when you see where an industry is going. So I was talking about AAAs at the time, and I didn't make that clear. But yeah,
I mean,
AAAs can be considered industry leaders.
Yes, very much so. I think our time, though, that we have now, as far as like what we're experiencing, and you have the Fortnite era, you have the Minecraft era, and things like that. There are going to be these $15.99, $14.99 leaders that just absolutely smash this, like the $15.99
Hades,
you know, anything. Like they're just gonna fucking smash them like every time. Like it unfortunately, that's the situation. But I think Sony is making. And Warconus' question really hits it here. Sony is focusing on AAA. They can't really invest in the volume as Xbox or Microsoft did. But Microsoft is like, you know what? Let's cast a wider net. Let's go for quantity instead of quality.
Yeah.
And something's got to hit.
But, yeah, not just that, but, like, who's to say that it's not true quality? You know, Bobby will tell you right now, AAA fucking blows. You'll just say it, right?
Yeah.
Bobby, in general, that's your...
I'm not a fan. I guess if you're, like, new... I mean, when I was young, whatever was AAA, I really liked. But after a while, I think you just kind of get burnt out on seeing the
you think
same
so?
Stuff. Well, I think so, because you got to... Battlefront's a good example. Like Battlefront 2, that game is made to appeal to a very, very wide audience.
Very wide.
And it makes a lot of safe decisions in its design choices. So that's not going to appeal to people, I think, who are older and have played a lot of games and have really specific tastes and are looking for really new or innovative or risky things. You know, that's just... I've seen so many kids like playing that game and they absolutely love it. But you know, you talk to anyone who's older and they're just like, after an hour of it, they're just like, oh, this
you know
is
what
just,
you're getting into.
Yeah.
Like, you know what you're playing. So if that's the case, right? I guess my opinion on the matter is, would you consider video games an accurate portal of storytelling compared to books or film?
Oh my God,
we're going down this rabbit hole. I'm here, so I'm
trying to end the show, dude. And you drop a question like that?
Come on. Well, here's the thing. Like, I have a God of War tattoo. Like, legit. Like, I have.
I think there's a fucking huge. Yeah, I think there's a few games out there that they have. They tell a good story, but by and large, no. And I don't.
That's right. I think you're very right in that sense. You know, you got the Fortnites, you got the Minecrafts. They don't tell stories. They just entertain kids or they entertain people. But I think...
Why is it the Sony ones that are so good at the storytelling ones?
Because that's what they're investing in, dude.
Yeah.
That's where they're like, you know what?
It sucks that we don't get them. it really does.
It really does. It really does. You know, hopefully Sony builds a video card or whatever the fuck it is, and we start getting Sony shit on PC.
I don't think so. I think they're both... I'm just guessing. I don't know. I'm not in the boardroom. But I think they both like their trajectories. I think they Xbox is enjoying what they're doing, and Sony is like, yeah, we're doing what we want to do. And Nintendo's just their own little thing.
Which fucking sucks when you think about it. It's like, dude, there are you can watch shit on YouTube, right? But it is such a different feeling when you're fighting the Harpy Queen for the 31st time because she's kicked you in the nuts that many times, and you finally beat her, and you're like, I didn't have to do that.
Dude, when my buddy called me and told me that he beat the first boss in Sekiro, I'm talking to a 35-year-old man, and he sounds like we were 12 again. He's like, dude, I finally beat the boss. I tried so many times, and I figured it out. I was like, fuck, man, that's awesome. That is a priceless
feeling.
Priceless feeling for him.
Yeah, even being old, I mean, I'm in 28, you're 50, Bobby's 36.
Yeah, it's 2 years every time he says my age. Jerk.
It's like, dude, whatever gets you that feeling again, fucking do it, man.
Yeah.
Like, Diddy, when's the last time you had, like, a truly novel moment playing video games in the last, like, year?
Oh, good question. I always get those types of feelings when I play games like Sekiro, when I play Souls-likes. Like when I beat that boss that I've been working on for 2 hours or whatever and trying to do the whole pattern recognition, figure it out kind of thing, like I get that yes, you know, just like with, you know, Mega Man or whatever when you were a kid and you finally beat the TMNT2 sewer level, you know, all that shit. That's the type of thing I do when I get through a really hard part of like a Souls-like. That's what I like.
Yeah, man, I think when it comes to, like, even a comparison to, like, music, everybody's going to find their own shit. But there are things that are universal as far as, like, what's attractive. And eventually, one would hope that Sony would come to PC and we get to feel these great stories that, you know, you've played. Bobby hasn't.
How are they not emulated by now? Like,
dude, you know.
Some of them are. I figure at some
point. Last of Us 2 is not emulated, right?
No, of course not.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
No.
But why of course not?
Because PS5 architecture is so complex that you can't emulate it.
I doubt that. Well, I guess yeah.
I'm guessing the security locks
and crimson. What?
They have PS2 emulators. The new emulators require you to load a BIOS too for some of the newer systems, and that's the actual legal part. So they can freely distribute the emulator. Maybe even the ROM, but. It's the actual, once you get the BIOS, that's like the thing that you get in trouble for, so, which is also the harder thing to find. But I feel like I'm always shocked to see emulators for things like the PS2 or newer systems like that. But I don't know.
Man, that was really a closer in my eyes. That's really touching.
What are we all playing next week?
Vermintide with Bobby.
Vermintide 2.
6 p.m. sharp.
Oh, first of all, Curd, thank you for shouting out my April Fool's joke. I didn't shave my head. That was a bait.
Dude, I totally thought you did.
Dude, you know what my mom said? Huh. She totally thought I did. She cried. Until she realized my head's not that fucking tan.
You looked terrible, dude.
I look like the guy who rapes rapists.
It was bad, but I believed it, dude. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe he did that.
No, I don't have a head that tan. Yep. But like I said,
you have a great head of hair.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's my dad. Yeah. Thank you, Kurt.
I mean, I wouldn't want pubes on top of my head, but as far as your coverage, I mean, it looks
the
fullness, healthy.
The color.
As yes. a sheen. Yeah.
I mean, Bobby's got a great head of hair. He's like 80 years old.
Yeah. And he's getting those wingtips, dude. Those knowledgeable, like, he could run for presidency and do pretty well.
Let's get Bobby some mutton chops. All right. We're going to war with, like, Colombia. Let's get it real old school, all right?
But Bobby, you decided to just get rid of the chops, man?
Well, the beard grew in. I grew.
It looks good.
Yeah,
it
legit when looks quarantine good. Started, at a certain age, Nick, you'll get there eventually. But at a certain age, you've just got to grow a beard. Like every guy does it.
I can't do that. I look like someone rubbed my face in dirt in Pakistan. It just does not look good. Dude, I look like a fat Elmer Fudd that fell in chocolate.
You'll
like,
find something, some sort of facial hair thing that works for you. But the more hair you have on the face, the more you can shape your jawline and the shape of your face as well.
So John, can you grow a beard, John?
I can, kind of. Like, I don't get this.
You look
stuff
more like a goatee beard, guy to me.
Yeah. Not a bad goatee.
I was going to say
definitely a chin strap. No real sideburns.
When you're going to a big show like you are next week, like, what? You got a haircut. What are you doing facially?
I'm going to get a haircut. I'm going to shave my pubes, wax my balls, the whole nine yards.
Good. Nice. Look, it's hard.
Really,
man.
Pristine. All
pristine.
Over.
Pristine. Pristine peeing.
Yeah, look, the snake look like snakes. You got to go in confident.
Yeah. But that's right. That's right.
That's going to be my...
I got a JD constriction, you know, like football jersey, stuff like that. Be real comfortable. Yeah.
Nice, man.
Got to look good.
Before we sign out, I just want to go ahead and advertise. We are doing the Not Safe for Work podcast after this. If you want to hear some more debauchery, we're going to have guest JP Diddy on the podcast, hopefully. And we're going to answer some very obscene listener questions and talk about some crazy stories. I love you guys very much. I was looking forward to this the whole time that I've been out here. Being in person is very different compared to being online. And, yeah, this is Nick signing out.
You stole my thunder, man. Titties.
Big old titties.
Big old titties.
Snake what? Titties.
Do you want John, you've been around forever and ever. Like, do I get rid of the titties? He's saying it's not PC anymore.
Who's saying that?
Bobby. He's saying, like, it's 2021.
I've been fighting it the whole time.
I think, dude, here's the thing, right? There's a stand-up joke.